Samanta chakkhavalesu atra gacchantu devata sadhammam muni rajasa sunantu sagamokhadam dhamma savana kalo ayam badanda dhamma savana kalo ayam badanda dhamma savana kalo ayam badanda namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa buddham saranam gacchami dhammam saranam gacchami sangham saranam gacchami. Okay, so before I continue my yesterday's talk, I would like to ask you a question first. In Sutta, Buddha often said there are five things that weaken the wisdoms and concentration. What are the five? I know there are many people here expert in Sutta. Okay, so what are the five?
Food.
Keep on telling until I say
doubt.
Yes.
Doubt.
Yes. Another four?
Craving.
Greed.
Hatred.
Yes.
Anger.
Yes.
Delusion. Awe and restlessness.
Okay. So there are five hindrances. Five divarana, nivarana. So very often, Buddha said again and again, there are five things, five hindrances that weaken your wisdom, weaken your concentration. So if you cannot develop further wisdom and concentration, check these five hindrances. Let's say, let's choose one and talk. Anger. Anger has arisen in you. What is your first reaction? What's the first reaction of the mind?
Punch something.
Huh?
Punch something.
And this is called karma in Buddha's teaching. Some more, not everyone punch like you, okay? Then what's the first reaction?
Say, I am angry.
Yes, correct. I am angry. Immediately, the identification will arise and grasp this anger as I, myself, mine, belong to mine, to me, right? And because of this identification view, immediately you cling to it. You cling to this anger as I, myself, therefore, manta, arahan manta niputase. The notion of I occur due to clinging, not without clinging. Let me go back to the old text I mentioned, right? So the anger arises in us, immediately identity view also arise and cling to it. Therefore, the notion of I occur. And the whole vipassana practice is to eliminate this wrong view of I, wrong view of self. Remember that. Right? And when you identify this anger as I, mine, then you punch. Right? So before you punch, we need the brake system in the car. Right? We need the brake first. What is this brake? Sati. Yes, mindfulness. So mindfulness must be aware that anger state has arisen in mind. That anger state has arisen in me. First, arouse your mindfulness first. Huh? But although we say it many times, say it again and again, again and again, when some people note the pain, anger arise, cannot note the mind anymore. They cannot note the mind. For what reason? For what reason? Because it has been long, long time we identify all the mental state as I, mind, myself. It has been long, long time. Huh? We hold to this mental state as I. We grasp it as I, mind, myself. So the moment this mental state arises, we just cannot arouse the mindfulness. Because identification view has taken over, take the upper hand of it. The mindfulness has to give away. Give way to identification view. Therefore, most people, they just cannot note their mind, no matter how many times I say it again and again. Right? Not your fault. It's the fault of latent defilement of identification view. So, and because of that, hindrances that arise in us, and we immediately identify with it, and for somebody they act upon it. Immediately, this weaken our wisdom, weaken our concentration, and strengthen the action, our action. That cause us to accumulate unwholesome karma. And we, as a practitioner, we don't want such thing to happen again and again. If it happens again and again, then to get rid of round of rebirth is hopeless, right? Because we don't know the way to stop the chain of dependent origination. So any one of these five hindrances, when they arise in the mind, we need to learn a skill, a technique that can cut it off, stop it, so that we will not react, so that these hindrances that weaken our wisdom, that weaken our concentration, subside, then we can continue our practice, deepen our concentration, deepen our wisdom. Otherwise, whenever these hindrances arise in mind, we react. How are we going to deepen our concentration? How are we going to develop our wisdom to perfection? Right? So it's very important for an insight meditator to learn this skill. This skill, to me, is much more important than seeing the light. You want to see the light? I will take a torchlight and shine on your face. Then you will see the light, right? Not so important. Forget it. So learn the skill, whatever mental state arises. Okay, now a mental state, that's like when you note the pain, aversion arises. You don't like it. Huh? When you note the breath, do you feel you don't like it? Yes or no? When you note your breath, do you feel you don't like it? No. But when you note the pain, why you don't like it? Why?
Pain
is also
bad.
Object, huh?
It feels bad.
Who feels bad?
It.
Not it. Who feels bad? Answer me. Jonathan feels bad. Jonathan feels bad because you identify.
A mind arises to.
No, because you already identify that pain killing me. You already connect it with I and self. Therefore, you cannot bear with it, right? So at that moment, if the identification comes, you just cannot bear with the pain. So you got to get rid of that identification. Don't identify that pain as myself. Or if any unpleasant feeling arises, don't identify that unpleasant feeling as myself. If you identify it, the pain intensifies. Okay. we will ask Hari Wong to say, to share how she perceived the pain and the pain disappeared, okay? Without the self.
You know, my daily sitting practice is 40 minutes. So when I came here and saw the schedule, I was worried.
Start to worry.
I was thinking, how am I going to sit through? Especially 2 weeks before the retreat, I had a back problem. So it turned out the sitting for the first part, I estimated probably an hour and 10-15 minutes was fine, kind of light and ease relatively. But as time goes, it feels the whole body weight is on the floor. And not only that, I feel all the bones were so hard. It doesn't feel soft cushion at all. So that was kind of pain, and plus the lower back pain. So then beginning, I just say earth element, earth element. But after all these days of Dharma talks, helps me a great deal. Especially the session of contemplation of the mind. So Sally suggests, let's look into the pain. And I realize that takes the courage because the body feels move, but the mind knows, or I knows, it's not going to help. It's going to get worse. So I said, okay, let me just bite the bullet, look into it. So beginning, the pain was all over at the anywhere touch the mat. So when I look into it, it seems to become, the area becomes smaller and smaller. I want to find out where it is. And at the end, I found one spot was the right hip bone hit on the mat. That was a pain. So I still keep looking because I remember Ben's thread. I didn't see a thread, but it seems become very specific, and after a while, it's gone. And then the body felt lighter again. So that happened once. Then next session is pain again. This time lasts longer, I think. So when I sit on it, now I know I can go through it. And one question came up. Why the mind doesn't like pain so much, feel so suffering? Because pain is a sensation. I thought, okay, sensation is one thing, mind is another. The two are two different things. And suddenly I realized, oh, there is a self here, connected two together. The self takes the pain as its own. So he doesn't like it. So I thought, oh, if without self, life can be much easier. At the same time, the pain is still there, and I got an itchy spot on my face. I know that I can deal with it. If I don't scratch it, because that we experience many times, it will go away, it's irritating. So I just sit, watch both. And another question came is, why this is all right and the pain is not? So the mind, how does mind know so this is okay, this is not okay? Then come to the self again. I think the self identify, oh, this is bearable, that is unbearable. You know, since I studied Buddhism, I really solely believe there is no self. But the believing is one thing, and seeing it is something else. So I think this retreat, through all the Dharma talks, it helps me to start to see a little bit. And I'm happy for that. Hope someday I can see completely it's not there. That's it.
Very good.
Well,
right?
Thank you so much for all your teaching.
Some get it, some do not get it. Jonathan, now when the pain arises, don't identify with self. Then you can bear it. Okay? Okay. So come back to the hindrances. Only with the identification, you surely you cannot bear it. You just see it as a sensation, just like you see it, see your breath. But because you discriminate, you choose the one you like, and you repel the one you don't like. Because you react to it, therefore it becomes unbearable. Huh? So as a meditator, whatever object comes, whether pleasant or unpleasant, just hold the mind, note it. Hold the mind, arouse your mindfulness, know it is happening. This is the first step. Then what's the second step? What's the second step? First step, arouse the mindfulness. No, pain has arisen in me. Or anger, aversion has arisen in me. Or worry has arisen in me. Then anxiety has arisen in me. We call it mindfulness. Mindfulness alone cannot lead you to nibbana, right? We need another mental factor. What's that? Wisdom. We need wisdom. So next step, we apply wisdom. How to apply it?
Impermanent.
Look for the condition.
Yes, contemplate, impermanent, contemplate. Then you will see how to contemplate. Just noting. Impermanent. When you note the impermanent, you direct your mind to see it's vanishing. Or you can note vanishing, passing away, cessation, or impermanent, anicca. Whatever words that carry the meaning of impermanent, use that word. Or gone. Then immediately you will see the mental state pass away. If you don't see that way, even you hold the mindfulness there, you may not be able to see it's vanishing. Because you don't direct your wisdom to see it's vanishing, then it seems it's still there. Okay? So I let the students share again. Ben, you can share how you contemplate your mind?
Which part? You want me to share the aversion?
The worrying, the aversion when you pain.
To me, the experience is that because we associate all these mental states with self for so long, sometimes even when the sila says it can be contemplated, we don't even think about that thing can actually be contemplated. But just like many years ago, when she was saying drowsiness can be contemplated, I felt very dubious because I always feel that I'm drowsy. Like how is that possible? But it's actually possible. So another thing is when you sit long, sometimes you kind of, even though in the state is very good, but occasionally, like let's say the pain arises and you think, oh, how come the bell hasn't rung yet? How come it's still going? So that's that thought. That's actually a restless thought that I previously didn't think that was actually can be contemplated. But that actually is another example. That's something that you associate so long with yourself. Like I feel kind of worrying about the time or something. It's actually, if you actually direct your mind to note that vanishing, it actually also vanishes. So that's another thing. Experience.
Okay, so Suki, can you share your experience?
Yesterday when I heard Ben talking about noting, and before that, I told you I had a resistance to noting for a long time. I read it in the book about noting, and I said to myself, probably Mahasi Sayadaw used the noting for Westerners who cannot really concentrate much, too much thought. So maybe he did like a noting. Maybe I don't need it, something like that. So I was just not really applying it at all. But when Ben said, actually not yesterday, the day before yesterday, that was before Ben told me about noting. So we were studying about the mindfulness of mind. So I decided to have my thoughts as an object and try to look at my thoughts and mind together without noting. And usually I didn't really pay attention too much to the thought, but when I really looked at the thought, now somebody just popped up, and then from there I tried to look at the passing of that thought, but before that another thought popped up. And then my meditation was like a jam-packed with this person, that person. Sayadaw came in and Maureen came in and trying to make up like a stories from there. And I was just going almost crazy. And I tried to go back to my breath, and breath was already a little too weak because of too much unwholesome thoughts there. And so then yesterday in the morning, I tried to actually use that impermanent, the word, the noting. And one thought came out and I just applied impermanent. That's it. I mean, it was magic. And I looked at it while I'm talking impermanent, and was it's gone. And I was just happy, so I did it again and again, and whole meditation was like so clear, just whatever comes up, impermanence, good. Now, together with this, I want to just add a story. until this retreat, I thought the arising and passing, watching arising and passing was just watching arising and passing, nothing else. So about 10 years ago or some time ago, I was in a lot of agony, like a domanasa. It was just mental agony, so painful. I couldn't handle it. It was just all in my heart. So I was a meditator, Vipassana meditator at that time too. So I decided to watch that unpleasant, I think it's a kind of anger, I should say it's anger. I started watching it, just watching it. It lasted like more than half a day. Just continue, and I didn't really pay attention. It was like a continuing no, and I didn't. It was just a line of like a whole line of anger and unpleasant feeling. So finally, in the afternoon, I started watching it in the morning, and finally in the afternoon, when it disappeared, I said, "Oh, it disappears."
That takes so long.
So I said, wow, it is true. What has arisen must disappear. So I was just happy that it happened. So I'm going to just watch it, you know, what went. But so I didn't really know about this wisdom that you could just say impermanent. And I didn't have to wait like for that long. I just realized yesterday, and I was just really happy that I opened up my mind.
Yeah, open up your mind. Yes, correct. Only open a mind, the knowledge, the teaching, what I share with you all flow into your heart. Huh? So it's you block yourself. If you have closed-minded, you, if you are closed-minded, you block yourself. Okay? Okay. So I want Tonantan help me to read one passage. Common resistance up to the end.
Common resistances and misunderstandings. It has been many years since I started sharing with my students the method of contemplating the impermanence of all mental phenomena, whether wholesome or unwholesome, described in the Contemplation of Feeling and Mind section. I myself benefited enormously from this simple, practical, and effective practice during my meditation as well as in daily life. However, somewhat surprisingly, many students are slow to take up this immediately beneficial technique or even resist it. The following points are meant to help to break down common resistances and misunderstandings. First, it is our habit to identify with our every mind state, such as craving, agitation, drowsiness, conceit, views, sloth and torpor, restlessness, effort, mindfulness, and so forth, as I, mine, or myself. Such false identification is so ingrained in our minds that we do not realize these states can be contemplated. But as the Buddha taught, all these phenomena are knowable through practice, so we must make an explicit effort to contemplate the impermanent and non-self nature of these mental states as they arise. Second, a key part of the practice is noting vanishing, vanishing, impermanent, impermanent, of arisen mental states. This practice may initially appear to be just labeling and mechanical recitation, but in reality, it is wise attention, attending to the phenomena wisely in accordance with the truth. The words vanishing, vanishing, help the mind to see the actual vanishing of the observed phenomena. Once you become more familiar with the perception of impermanence, you can just watch the arising and vanishing of phenomena without labeling. This process breaks up the illusion of compactness, of continuity, of feelings and other mental states, helping us to realize that they are made of discrete moments arising and vanishing one after the other. The noting also helps break down the illusion of compactness of mass by separating bodily reactions from mental states. Previously, mental and bodily reactions were mixed together in a single blob regarded as mine and self. Through wise attention, we can realize that the body reacts slower than the mind, bodily reactions linger longer after mental phenomena have already vanished. Seeing this helps us to disidentify bodily reactions from self and mind and stops the perpetuation of the current mental and bodily states. An example of this perpetuation would be when the body is still hot after being angry. Even though the mental state of anger is already gone, we tend to habitually associate this bodily state with the thought, "I'm still feeling angry," thereby triggering a new mental state of anger. Furthermore, perception perceives special features of an object by making a mark so as to be able to recognize it again in the future. Repeatedly noting the word vanishing at the moment of noticing the disappearance of an arisen phenomena leaves a mark for future perceptions of impermanence. Lastly, this technique may seem too simple to be the answer to how to practice contemplation of impermanence during daily life. The only remedy for this is to be more open-minded and give it a try before drawing conclusions. I hope you become one of the many yogis who happily report back that they now can effectively contemplate all sorts of mental phenomena that they previously didn't realize could be objects of contemplation. Shall I read the Chinese notes at the back?
Okay, sadhu, sadhu. Is it clear? Okay, clear. Hope you can get the essence of the teaching. Okay, so now I would like to share also one of my students' experience. My new student never learned from me before, and he came for my retreat in my center in Malaysia. And every retreat, I teach this contemplation of mind, but only few get it. I still insist I should teach this one. Even one get it enough. Also, even though it's tired for me, only one get it. And this student is very receptive. So then he get all the message I want to convey. And in the retreat, he keep on contemplate impermanent of whatever feeling that arises or mental state. And immediately he see this state pass away. When you contemplate and see it vanish in your mind, then you gain confidence. You believe in this technique already, right? So he was very happy. When after retreat, he keep on practicing the same method in his daily life. And one day, his wife told him, "Now you have changed." His wife told him, "You have changed." Why? Then he told me that because every time when he went back home, his wife started nagging on him. Nagging. The moment his wife nagging on him, a lot of unpleasant feeling, aversion, unpleasant feeling arise in him. Previously, he has no skill, no technique to handle his unpleasant feeling, his aversion. So he will fight back with his wife. So all these two persons always end up with quarreling, right? This time, he has learned the skill. So when he went back home, his wife start to nag on him, then he start to contemplate. He see his unpleasant feeling arises again, but he know the technique already. He know the skillful mean. So he contemplate impermanent. His wife continue nagging, then he hear contemplate impermanent. When his wife stop nagging, then he also finished contemplation. He didn't know what his wife talked about, what his nagging about. He doesn't know the content at all. But he see the unpleasant feeling vanishes when his wife finished. So no need to react. Therefore, now it's not necessary for him to fight back anymore. And after some time, his wife also feel very boring, talking to a person who has no reaction. So his wife stopped nagging on him. So this is how you also can improve your relationship with your friend, your family members, if you know the skill. So to him, he feel very satisfied with this skill. You just need to put into practice, explicit effort. The moment whatever state arises, just note, come impermanent, vanishing, and see how it works. And also, once a while, when my mind get very angry, if I lost my mindfulness, if I don't put explicit effort to note this vanishing of my anger, I can see the anger last very long. Maybe last for 5 minutes. But that 5 minutes is burning. It's full of suffering, right? So I don't want that suffering anymore, enough. So when my mind get angry with something, then I arouse explicit effort, just vanishing. Sometimes only one word, vanishing, I can see the anger pshak, immediately gone from my mind. Although I can feel my heart still beating, because physical slower than mine. So when I feel my anger gone, but I still can feel my heart still beat very fast. It's a trace of the anger left behind, right? But the mind has no more anger. So I can see when I arouse my mindfulness and wisdom, then I don't have to suffer so long. when that defilement state, the hindrances disappear from my mind, then my mind return into its clarity, return to its peace, right? Therefore, come back to the first question I asked. These five hindrances weaken the wisdom and concentration. Therefore, as a practitioner, we must have the skillful mean to handle them when they arise. And in commentary, they give a lot of skillful mean. For example, to overcome sloth and torpor. In commentary, they give a lot of skillful mean. For example, he say, open the eye, reciting the Dharma, you know, go up, get up, go out and walk, wash your hand, wash your face. That takes too much time, takes too long time to me. This method, I don't like. Just directly wash it. Nah? Sloth and torpor comes. Just directly observe it. Just like you observe the breath. It's a different object only. You don't differentiate this object, sloth and torpor. I hate you, don't like. Then you lost mindfulness, don't know how to note already. Right? Don't identify that sloth and torpor as yourself. Another thing I want to mention is you must train your mind to quick noting. No? The moment any state arises, your mindfulness must be quick, fast, so that identification will not arise first. Don't let identification view arise first. If you let identification view arise first, your mindfulness give away, retreat. Your mindfulness cannot work, cannot function. Therefore, if your noting is fast, before identification arises, you already know it's just a state, impermanent. Then there's no chance for identification view to arise to identify that state as myself. Just the pain. When pain arises, no, it's just a sensation, vanishing, or just a state, just a sensation. Otherwise, if you don't note in this way, then the identification view will grasp this pain as myself, then you cannot bear it. It's horrible. Then your mental state get affected. You don't like it. Yeah? As a meditator, we don't put in like or don't like. Whether it's good or bad, just note. Just apply mindfulness and wisdom. No discrimination. Okay? Okay. So these five hindrances. First, sensual thought. So when the sensual thought arises in you, immediately put explicit effort to know it impermanent. If you are more familiar with this technique, you don't have to say, mind affected by lust as mind affected by lust. But if you are not familiar, then you say first, mind affected by lust, or lustful mind as lustful mind. Shorten it. Lustful mind as lustful mind. Then, second, apply wisdom, vanishing. Once in a while, you can investigate cause and condition, but not all the time, right? After vanishing, or when you say vanishing, it still persists there, then you can contemplate cause and condition. Mm-hmm. Why this arises? If not just directly, not impermanent or vanishing. Okay, so sensual thought arises, it disturbs the mind. Wisdom cannot develop anymore. Concentration cannot develop anymore. If this distracting thought arises in you, you want to force yourself back to concentration, go to the breath. For most people, not easy. So if not easy, then you got to tackle this one, solve this one first. How to solve it? There are many ways, commentary give many ways. But the most direct way is just contemplate impermanent. Note it impermanent vanishing. Then when it gone, then you might return to clarity and go back to the breath. Same, when an anger arises, take explicit effort, contemplate impermanent. Or know the state first, angry mind as angry mind. But if you are so familiar with this practice, no need to say angry mind as angry mind. When you're angry, you know you're angry, right? No need to say angry mind as angry mind. It's also slow already. So when you are more familiar, just know you are angry. Finish. go back to breath. One noting finished, go back to breath. So if you keep on doing like that, no hindrances will disturb your mind. No hindrances will disturb your mind. The doubt arise, doubting mind, doubting mind, doubting mind, come back to the breath. Vanishing, 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 no more. Come back to breath. Right? Then slow and topper comes, just wash it. Vanishing, vanishing. When mind come, become clear, then go back to breath again. So this technique is so simple. It's so easy. Right? You just need to be open-minded and put it into practice. But if first time you note, some people say, sister, I note impermanent, impermanent, still very permanent. It's okay, no problem. Keep on noting, right? If for everyone note impermanence, then immediately impermanent, then I think all of us have gone to Nirvana already. Right? Right? Practice makes perfect. First practice cannot see impermanent, no problem. Maybe my mindfulness is not sharp, my wisdom is not sharp. Keep on practicing. Until you get it, then you got confidence. Next time, get it again. Then you hit it more and more, more and more, and it becomes your habitual practice. And the practice becomes easy. Even you go walking, you know, you concentrate on your breath. One thought arises, immediately you know. Pass away. Walk, another thought, no, pass away. So gradually, there's no hindrances that can disturb your mind if you know how to observe your mind. To observe the body, to get disenchanted with the body, is much more easy. But to get to observe the mind, to get disenchanted with mental state, is more difficult. Buddha mentioned in the Nidana Samyutta, Sutta 61, he said that because the body, the grow and decline, the pain, and sickness, aging sickness, is very easy to see through the body made up by four elements, right? When you get old, the hair turn to grey, the skin turn to wrinkle, then it's very easy to see the impermanence of your body. Therefore, we don't cling to the body so strongly as I mind myself. But to see the impermanence of the mind, to see the non-self nature of the mind is very difficult. Buddha said, why? Because Buddha said it has been a long time. It has been a long time we hold on to this mental state as I mind myself. Therefore, it's very difficult to get disenchanted, dispassionate towards this mental state due to clinging. And it's due to clinging, the pain arises, you cling to it as I, mind, myself, then the notion of I occur. And the anger state of mind arises, you cling to it as I, mind, myself, therefore the notion of I occur. So the notion of I arises due to clinging. Clinging to what? Clinging to your body and mind. Whatever arises in your body and mind. Or another word, five aggregate. So clinging to five aggregate, then a notion of I, notion of self occurs. How to let the notion of self not occur? How? How? Not to cling, right? How not to cling? Stephen, how not to cling?
By constantly reminding oneself by noting that it's not mine, that it's impermanent.
Yes. Oh. See, it's impermanent, right?
It's so impermanent.
The light is impermanent.
Finally, we know.
Okay, don't move. Stay there. You can listen to the Dharma talk in the darkness. Don't move. Why you take action so fast? Therefore, how not to cling? In order not to cling, we must take explicit effort. Now, whatever state arises from the mind and body, we contemplate it two ways. Once you can contemplate it as impermanent, vanishing, vanishing. Another way you can contemplate it as non-self. Whatever arises in the mind and body is not a self. We already accept it theoretically. Just see it as a state arising, a reason state depend on cause and condition. So constantly seeing things in this way, then the notion of self will not arise. And the clinging will not arise. When there's no clinging, the notion of self also will not arise. And Buddha said, when without engagement with or clinging to or take a stand upon whatever arisen state as myself, this will lead you for a long, long-term happiness. Okay, so I think since there's no light, I don't want to continue. I hope and all of you have open mind and give it a try. And not only one try, okay? One try, if you cannot experience like Suki experience, then give it more try until you finally see it, then you develop more and more confidence in this technique, and then you will apply it more and more, and finally it become your habit. Whatever arises, your habitual reaction is impermanent. Your habitual reaction is non-self. Then the life become at ease. And you cut off one noting, you cut off clinging. One contemplation, you cut off clinging to self. 100 times of contemplation, you cut off 100 times of clinging. So if every day you can apply the same thing again and again, then the self, the notion of self will become dimmer, it will become less and less, less and less. Then when the notion of self becomes less, then the wisdom, become stronger and stronger, wisdom become more matured, when one day when wisdom reach maturity, and wisdom has the function of cutting off sakkaya ditthi, identity view. So when your wisdom matured, because you no more see the self, then wisdom matured, then one day the maturity of wisdom will one sword, one cut, and permanently cut off your identity view in your mental stream. At a time, you have become a noble one, stream enterer. Okay, so thank you for the talk. Sadhu. 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 Sadhu.